I guess let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so grateful for Bible camps. As we send the youth off there to where they go, and Lord, I pray that it's a time to where they can connect with you, where they have time to learn more about you, to where they can work out issues in their own life. And Lord, I pray that you draw them to you, that you draw them to your word, to your ways. And Lord, I pray for this service as we, as I pray that we bring a blessing to you through all that we do. Every aspect, everything that we do today should be a reflection of you and should be bring blessings to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. While you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my past. Now, formally, before I came here, I was a visitation pastor. I had to think of what it was. I was a visitation pastor, and they gave me an office. They gave me my own space, the size of a closet. That was a closet in the past. It was a little smaller than that room over there. So it was interesting how I got all my stuff in there. And I thought, you know what? My office needs just a little bit of life. I had a window, and it faced the north. And north would be that way. I'm not in my office. It faced the north, and not a lot of sunlight came in there. I didn't take that into consideration, so I asked my wife, I should get a plant in here, something to spice it up. So I got a cactus. Like, I can't kill a cactus. You know, they're hardy. They could take a whooping and still keep producing prickly things. 6 months later, it died. Yeah, I thought that my cactus was starving for water. It doesn't starve for water. Somebody told me to put coffee grounds in there too, to give it some nutrients. That probably didn't help either. You see, I have no idea what I was doing with it. If I were in charge to keep weeds alive, they would be dead. I would own bare ground. I could probably kill the sand. I don't have a green thumb whatsoever. If you ask me for gardening advice, don't take it. Don't take it. If we had to rely on me to grow things for survival, you would be in trouble. It would be bark or sand we'd be eating. See, I like artificial plants. I do, except when I overwater them, they come to looking pretty different. See, I know a little bit to be dangerous. I know that gardening and farming takes a lot of work. And I know the basics. It takes soil or dirt, sunlight, water, the right amount, and the right temperature or region to grow the things that you want to grow. I do know that. However, I think, if we're all honest, there's a sense of ignorance when it comes to agricultural and the growth of plants. In fact, this is the way I think about the fruit of the Spirit. When we think about farming and growing plants, crops, there's a lot of work that grows into it, right? Can you cause the growth? Can we make it produce? You see, when we think about Galatians 5, when we get there, Galatians 5, 22 through 24, when we think about that, this passage is very familiar. The fruit of the Spirit. Who has memorized the fruit of the Spirit? Anybody? You memorized it? You memorized it? Good deal. The fruit of the Spirit. We even have that displayed in our homes, don't we, sometimes? Those signs that have Bible verses on them. We have those hanging up. We know that fruit is produced by the Spirit. And we know that there must be some cultivation in our heart before this fruit is produced. See, we must have the Spirit, must be walking by the Spirit, must be in the Word, and so on. However, there's still a mystery to the production of fruit. We are a work in progress, and the true believer will produce fruit of some quantity. Today and for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit and the results of it. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Boy, that sounds a little better than the last few weeks, doesn't it, guys? Sounds a lot better. So we finished up the deeds of the flesh, which were no fun. And those deeds of the flesh, these qualities manifest in the non-believers. Those were something that non-believers produced. It came natural to them to produce the deeds of the flesh because they were not guided by the Spirit. They didn't have that internal battle in them because they were going to do what they wanted to do, what makes them happy. See, and we as believers, here's the hard truth, guys. We're not immune to it. We're not immune to the deeds of the flesh. Because we are not yet perfected. We're not perfected. We still struggle with evil desires and the desire to follow a holy God. We can't do both. We can't, as the deed said, we can't give in to sensuality and walking in the Spirit. We can't give in to hatred and walk in the Spirit. They oppose one another. We can't do both. And there's this fight going on. The which one do we follow? The unsubmissive part of a believer, the part that does not want to submit to the callings of God. We still have that inside of us. But yet we have to make a conscious effort to serve. Not once we're a believer, automatically just, oh, we're perfect. No, there's that continual struggle within us. Now, if one is living by the ways of the flesh, by the deeds, without any sort of conviction whatsoever, if you call yourself a Christian, a true believer in Jesus Christ, yet you are into parts of this list or all the list of the deeds of the flesh, I wonder if you know who Jesus is. If there's no conviction and you're in sin all the time, a couple things have happened. One, you never had a true conversion. Or two, you have sinned for so long that the Holy Spirit's like, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to convict you anymore of your sin. Now we're going to get into a new series, The Fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit should be evident in a believer's life. It should be seen. It should be noticed. We need to be displaying fruit, as our passage says. Now, the interesting thing about this, the fruit of the Spirit, is you can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose whether you're going to display love, faithfulness, joy. Here, it should all be together. It's all together. It needs to be showing all of them. See, the fruit of the Spirit is one living life imitating Christ. They will be a reflection of Christ when they walk in the Spirit. Man alone cannot produce good fruit. If you try on your own to produce good fruit, you're going to fail. It cannot happen. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of man. Only the Spirit of God working through man can he produce any good fruit. one who tries to produce good fruit outside of Christ is useless. It's useless. Anything we do to try to please God outside of Christ is useless. Now, the Bible talks about fruit quite often. This word is mentioned 106 times in the Old Testament, 70 times in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it is good fruit is referred to as praises of the Lord, winning converts to Christ, and godly working in general, those who are pursuing their call to be obedient to Christ. Now, these are known as spiritual fruit produced through believers, but such action fruit must come from attitude fruit, and that is the kind of fruit that Paul is talking about in our passage today. If those attitudes are characterized by a believer's life, the fruit of active good workers will soon follow. Now, when one produces fruit of the Spirit, they are displaying their faith. Thus, it is an outward indication of salvation. People are going to see something different in you. And you have an opportunity to tell them why you're different. You're set apart from the world when you're in Christ. Jesus explains fruit in Matthew 7:15-20. And it says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you'll recognize them by their fruits." He's talking about two different plants, and one's going to produce good fruit, good healthy fruit, and another one that's just not going to be good at all. It's going to be horrible. It's not going to have any kind of appeal. And those that are producing good fruit is going to continue to thrive. And those that are producing bad fruit is what's going to happen to that produces bad fruit. What does the scripture tell us? It gets burned, right? It goes away. It will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So those that are in Christ are going to bear good fruit. Are going to, if you are a believer. If you are not a believer, you're going to try to produce fruit. And what kind of fruit is it going to be? Not good stuff. Not good stuff. You will be cut down and you will spend your eternity separated from God. Good fruit will be seen in the believer's life as a working of God through them. On the same line, those who produce bad fruit will be the result of man's effort to himself. Again, no matter how hard man tries, he cannot produce anything good on his own. Good fruit is the result of the Spirit working through him. Good fruit is seen as a result of a person's heart. It is the things that a person does because they are being sensitive to God's calling, to God working in their life. One thing that we need to know is that fruit is something that needs to be cultivated, but the fruit is always from God. This is the struggle that I had with this passage this week, trying to understand it. To understand it, we're going to look at gardening again, something I'm no good at and I shouldn't be talking about. But we need to have the soil, the water, the sunlight, the right temperature range, and a bunch of other things like the right kind of fertilizer to spread on it, right? To make it grow. See, the gardener or the farmer can't work the garden. They can spend time getting it ready, tilling it, planting it, putting the right nutrients into the ground to make the crops grow. There's a responsibility he has, and then he'll go out there and he'll put the seeds in. He's done all of that work. All of that work. And hoping that it's going to produce. I don't think there's a farmer in here that doesn't want his seeds to produce, is there? Oh, good. See, and we realize that what we do has potential to help the crops grow. We can't make them grow. That's only up to God. He's the only one that can make them grow. He's the only one that can get them to produce. Can you get your crops to produce? No, we can't. It's up to God. It's our reliance on God and His grace. We can do the prep work. We have prep work to do. But at the end of the day, it's God that causes the growth. This brings me to my next point. On occasion, the believer can be very lazy, or the lazy gardener can be lazy. Well, just redundant. You can be really lazy. And you can just scatter seeds, right? Can you just go out there and just throw some seeds? Maybe it'll grow. I'll forget about it. Who's done that? Am I the only one? Oh, boy. Oh, good. I got some more hands, some more brave souls. Good. You can throw them out there. And sometimes, like pumpkins, I just go throw them out in the yard. Sometimes they'll grow. Sometimes I'll get pumpkins next year. I put no work into it whatsoever. But yet, it produced. It produced. It was amazing to see. It doesn't happen. Don't bank on that, guys, okay? I did no work in it. I just threw them out, and maybe something will happen, maybe not. Sometimes it's a surprise. Where did I get this plant from? I must have thrown something away a long time ago. It happens. I put no work into it. However, how good is the harvest? Slim to none. Not good. Not good at all. The same as with our spiritual life, we need to be bearing good fruit. Yes, the fruit comes from the Spirit, but we also have a responsibility. We need to do the work. So once you have Christ in your life, guys, people say, once you have Christ in your life, it's uphill, not downhill. There's work that needs to be done. There is work that has to get done. The hard work actually starts once you're a believer. If you're a non-believer, is there any work to it? No. No, there's no struggle. You're going to do what you want to do when you want to do it. See, we as believers need to be doing the things that we're called to do. It is our job to be sensitive, our responsibility to be sensitive to the opportunity that God presents to us. This also means that we need to be in tune with God. We need to be in tune with Him. We have to know what He's calling us to do. First off, we need to have a solid prayer life. That means talking to God. That means expressing concerns to Him, telling Him about your day, even though He knows all about your day. He knows it's going to happen to you anyways. But it's that building that relationship, drawing closer to Him through talking. Is it easy to pray to God? Is it easy to talk to God? Should be. Is it easy to talk to your family? I didn't say nicely, but is it easy to talk to your family? Yes, it's easy to talk to your family. It's easy to talk to your friends. It's easy to talk to strangers. It's easy to well, for most people, it's easy just to talk to people in general, even saying, hi, how you doing kind of thing. A superficial talk, like stuff like that. It's easy. So talking to God, we're just talking, right? Communicating to Him, getting closer to Him. And when we express our concerns to Him, that deepens our relationship with Him. He helps us be sensitive. The other thing that we can do is devotional books. Who's got a devotional book that they really like? Yeah, devotional books are a good thing to have, yes. But I need to caution you, though. Devotional books have Scripture in them, or they should have Scripture in them. And that's what we need to be really focusing on. The rest of it is somebody's own thoughts. Somebody's own thoughts, that's what they got out of this, out of that portion of Scripture. And we have devotionals that could really skew our thought of the passage. So if you're doing, devotionals are good. I got a Spurgeon and one by Calvin that I really like. I don't read it all the time. You don't need to read those all the time. They're good. But don't forget the basics. Don't forget just to read your Bible. In those devotions, they will sometimes take things out of context. You need to know what the author is talking about. You need to make sure, well, does this verse fit this person's thought? Is he going in right, or is he just taking this point? Is he taking this verse to make a point? That's another thing with topical preaching, is they'll take verses outside of context to prove their point. That's why when you go through a book or read through it, or even read through the chapter, you get what the author's trying to communicate to you within the context. And let the scripture speak for itself without having it manipulated. Those are those things that we need to be doing. We need to be in God's Word. We need to do it. Without it, how are you going to know what to do? How are you going to know how to defend your faith? How will you know how to answer questions that people have? They say, why are you so different? Well, I don't know. Jesus. Okay. Elaborate. Is that going to produce good fruit? Is that going to produce bountiful fruit? If you're being superficial with them. We need to allow God to work through us. We can't just sleep on our Bibles, hoping we soak it in. It doesn't work. I've tried. I've fallen asleep before on my Bible. It doesn't work. You just wake up like this, if you have a big, thick study Bible. Get the smaller ones that don't hurt near as bad. We need to do our part. We need to do our part. We have a responsibility. The Apostle Paul knew that he had work to accomplish. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 10 tells us, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? A servant through whom you believed as the Lord assigned each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building, according to the grace God given to me, like a skilled master builder. I laid the foundation, and someone else built upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. There's this idea of work. He had to see what Paul was saying is, I went out, I went to the Gentile nations, I preached the gospel, I did my part that I was called to do. And then Apollos, who was with him, he came in and watered, meaning he either reaffirmed what Paul was saying, or he taught them a little bit more. There's work that needs to be done. And he didn't wait for others to do it. He's like, oh, I'm not going to do it. There's somebody else. Some other. I'll leave that up to David Jeremiah to do that later, or Chuck Swindoll, or John MacArthur, or whoever. No, he went out. He did the work that he needed to do. He knew it was the Spirit working through him. And again, he is responsible for his part. He knew that he was commissioned to go to the Gentile nations. And he was obedient to that. The believer has work to do. How can we produce fruit if we're not active? If we're just sitting around, are we allowing the Spirit to work in us producing fruit? Or what if the believer ignores the opportunities? See, you can't just be sitting around doing nothing. Even those that work on the farm all by themselves, they have to come into town when they break something, right? There's always interaction. Something always breaks. Or you run out of something. There's always things that we need to be doing. Always things that we need to be sensitive for. See, we can't be ignoring the opportunities that God gives us. We can't be. He gives us opportunities to display the fruit. And we're responsible for that. It's a going by a person who's holding a sign saying, need food, need money, need whatever. The question is, do you help that person? Does it hurt you to go, here's a sandwich? Or here's a soda pop? Or whatever you feel called to do? Be sensitive. Take the opportunity to let God work through you. See, we are to be doing things. We are to be active in our faith because our faith will be seen by others. It should be. Faith without works is useless. and we will produce very little fruit, very little. Just like when somebody's gardening, there's always work to do, always work to do. Even after you harvest, you've got to get ready for next year. You've got to know what you're going to plant next year. You know how to work the field, or you need to know if you need to let it sit. There's something to be done. One plans for a harvest every year, and they put work into it. Let us look at Matthew 13, 1 through 9. It says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him. So he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole crowd stood up on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." This parable is about a man who went to sow seeds. Some fell on the path, some fell among the rocks, some were choked out by weeds, some fell on good ground. Now the seeds symbolize the message, the gospel message, and the soils represent the people's heart. There are some who hear the gospel message and outright reject it. So no, I don't believe that. It's not for me. It is immediately removed by Satan. See, they don't want the message. They don't want the gospel. There are some who hear the message. They like the message. They receive it with joy. However, as they live a life, they run into difficulties and they fall away. The idea is that though they initially accept the message and it was joyful reception, it was not true salvation. They fell away. Now, if somebody's going to be in Christ and fully accepted, they're going to be dedicated to it. If it's a calling from God, they're going to be in it. It's hard to resist, if at all you can resist. There are some who hear the message, and like the other soil, superficially accepts the message. However, other things choke the message. They look at life and realize that godliness is not a means for riches and self-service. They also too fall away. This would be the person who says, "Well, how is this going to benefit me? What do I get out of this whole Christian thing? How can I be glorified?" And when things aren't going their way, they're like, "Oh, this is nothing." Did they even know who Jesus is? And there are some who hear the word, they understand it, they accept the message, and they're fruitful. Notice that Jesus suggests that some are more fruitful than others. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. This means that some believers are more productive in their lives. They're out there doing more. The question is, what stunts a believer's productivity? What stunts it? Want the simple answer? It's the flesh, the thing that we just got out of, but it keeps coming back up. It's the flesh. You see, the flesh is more than just a desire to do bad things. It comes with more baggage. The flesh will take you away from Scripture. It will take you away from prayer, away from fellowship, away from service. It will take you from yielding to the Spirit and even sharing your faith. You can't follow both. It's going to overtake your life and shine brighter. However, since God is working in a believer, even a disobedient believer will be bearing some fruit. Even those who are disobedient will be bearing some. Take caution, the fruit is small in number, since most of his deeds are of the flesh. They are not good in quality, since of his desires is not to glorify God, but himself. How do we have a good crop? We covered part of it. We covered it. Spend some time in God's word. Spend some time in God's word. It's easy enough, right? And we got those people, well, I'm not a very good reader. I can't spend a lot of time. I don't like to read very well. I say tough. Work through it. If you're not a good reader, that's okay. I stumble and fumble when I read, especially out loud. I have flaws. We all have flaws. But we need to be in it. We need to know what it says. That's so important. It's one of the basic, simple things. And of course, prayer. Do you at least pray once a day? Once a week? Once a day? Right before you go to, do you pray and then just pass out and fall asleep? Or you give yourself 2 minutes before you hit that I'm out mode? It's just talking to God. It's easy, right? If I were to ask somebody to pray for us right now, how many volunteers would I get? A couple good. I like that. I like that. A few volunteers. Like that. A lot of people, if a pastor asked me to pray, I was like, not here. Not going to do it. Because we think it's, you have to say this. You have this formula. You have to be so elegant with your words. You've got to rhyme them or whatever. You have to say the right theological jargon and get it right every time, right? That's the idea that I used to have. I'm not going to say anything flattery. It's going to be, all right, God, what do you want? Help me. And that's what he wants, to be real. Be real with him. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows how messed up we are. But talk to him. He knows our flaws. Fellowship is another one. Within the church, within the local church and the whole body of Christ. Fellowship with believers. That is so important. That helps strengthen us. That helps grow us in our faith. That helps challenging us. Even if you have people that you disagree with. Oh, those people are fun. If you can have a civil conversation. Because it helps strengthen your faith. It helps you stand firm on what you believe. But don't hang around them all the time, because that'll really test your patience. And God will give you an opportunity to test those patience, to work through it. Another one, yielding to the Spirit, to his calling, being sensitive to him, repentance of sin. We need to be repentant. We need to admit that, hey, Lord, I totally dropped the ball on that. Confess your sin to him. Confess it. He already knows you did it. You're not hiding anything. But it helps build that relationship closer. You feel closer to God when you do that. Serving your fellow believer and sharing your faith. The person who does these things will see much fruit. We have a responsibility, and God will work through that. And we just talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We never even got into it. Of course. And we know we do not grow it in our lives. It is the work of God in us. When we are obedient to him, he allows us to bear fruit for others to see. We must never forget our jobs. We must never forget that we have responsibility. Don't forget that, guys. Remember that. Remember, you have a job to do. No matter where you're at, no matter what condition you're in, you have a job to do. We need to draw closer to Christ, spending time with him in any way. His word, meditating on it, talking to him. We need to do our part in our walk with Christ and glorify God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so grateful. That it's you. You do the work. You cause the growth. It is you working through us. Lord, I pray that you help us to be sensitive to you. Help us to draw closer to you. Lord, if we have drifted away, if we have started going our own way, pull us back. Help us to get back to the basics of just being in your word, daily, knowing you, getting our instructions so we know how to go about our day, so we know how to handle situations. You will give us that insight. It won't be clear every time, and we know that. But as we continue to grow in you, to read your word, to talk to you more, you will open up our eyes to your truth. You will help us to bear good fruit that others will see. And that's what we need to be doing, is bearing good fruit, helping others see who you are, sharing your message, sharing our faith to others around us. Lord, give us the opportunities. Help us not to turn a blind eye to them. Help us to serve others. Help us to focus on you, because everything good comes from you. Use us the way you have designed us. And we thank you for the work that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Galatians 5, verses 25 and 26. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not be boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. You are dismissed.